Thank you, Susan. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Open our minds to know what is true. Open our actions to promote what is just. And open our hearts to love what is good. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, there was a young camel trying to figure out the meaning of his life. And so he went to his mom and he asked some questions. Hey, Mom, why do we have these huge feet with only three toes? Well, son, your feet are large because they keep us from sinking down into the sand as we travel across the desert. And then he asked another question. Why do we have such big eyelashes? Well, son, many times the wind blows hard in the desert, and the sand gets caught up in that wind and blows all around, and our eyelashes are long so that they can protect our eyes and keep the sand from getting into them. The young camel asks one more question. Why do we have these big humps on the back of our backs? Well, son, as you know, the desert, there's not much water, and our humps store water and allow us to be able to travel long distances across the desert. Now, the young camel pondered all of this for a while and then said, okay, Mom, let me get this straight. We have big feet so we don't sink into the desert sand. We have long eyelashes to protect our eyes, and we have humps on our backs so that we can travel great distances across the desert. And the mom said, that's right, son. And the young camel had a confused look on his face and finally asked, then why do we live in the San Diego Zoo? Perhaps there are those of you here today that are wondering, what is the meaning of life? What's the meaning of our church? Why are we here in Campbell? What do we do? Perhaps we may think that we are filled with ideas and aspirations, but are stuck in a kind of zoo that inhibits our progress. What many of you may know is that the Campbell United Church of Christ is undertaking a renewal strategic planning process that will unfold over the next several months, maybe even the next year or so. Some of you are participating on the task force that will lead this process, but everyone in the church family will be a part of this important undertaking, and everyone will have multiple opportunities for input to this important task. I would ask those of you who are now on the task force to kind of raise your hand so you can look around and see who these people are that are having conversations about our future. There are a few of them here today. Yes, good. Thank you for your service. Now, the purpose of my sermon today is to lay some groundwork for this ongoing process. And let me see if I can get some technology to work for me here. You ready? No? There we go. All right. So the title of what I'm going to say is That They All May Be One. It's Planning and Renewal for Campbell UCC. Specifically, I want to do four things today, and they are the following. First of all, what is the process that we're using for renewal, for strategic planning? I'll talk a little bit about that. Then what does a mission statement look like? That's something that's very important to this process. Why and how is our church special in this time and in this place? And then finally, what does unity of mission mean in the context of today's two scriptures that you heard read? So let's look at each of these things in turn. What is the process for renewal or strategic planning? Well, most people who do strategic planning, recognizing that it follows this pyramid, it starts at the top with a mission statement. And the purpose of the mission statement is to say, why do we exist and what do we do? And then once you have that established, the next thing is to say, a vision. What is it that we want to be? Probably with a time frame. What do we want to be in 5 years? What do we want to be in 10 years? And so forth. And this is all guided by something called our values, which are those things that we believe. And these three things together give us ideas for goals and action plans that move us forward into the future so that we can accomplish what our vision might be in light of our mission and our values. So I want to talk a little bit about that process It's a step-by-step process. You have to do the first one and then the second one and the third one in order. And it must be thorough if you want good results, and you have to have good attention to each of the steps as you go along. It can be iterative. Sometimes when you go to the vision, you realize that your mission isn't quite aligned with what you want to become, and you may have to tune the mission a little bit. And sometimes when you go to your beliefs, you recognize that your vision might change. So it can be iterative. It should be attentive. A poorly done planning process can lead to skepticism and burnout. In fact, a lot of people do strategic planning, and they put it on the shelf, and then it never gets used for another 5 years when they get it out and renew it. So you need to keep it in mind as you go along day to day, in fact. And it should be hopeful. If, in fact, strategic planning is well done, it will be transformational. And I think we're hoping for some transformation and renewal in our church as a result of this process. So we've got an important task on the table in front of us. Now, it turns out that you start at the top, and so the mission statement is the first step, and it sets the tone for the entire process. And so what I'm going to talk about today mostly is about mission. And so we might ask the question, well, what should a mission statement contain? The way forward for our church or any organization to a more successful future is to begin by agreeing on what our purpose and mission is in this time and place. And the mission statement is at the very core of the planning process. It becomes the bedrock of who we are and why we exist. So what does a mission statement include? What should it have in it? A mission statement should explain what we do and why we do it. A mission statement should also be a statement that should be as short and as clear as possible. In fact, it would be nice if it's something that you could remember and sort of say to yourself when you hear something coming at you, is this consistent with that mission that is, as I understand it? A mission statement should also be inspirational and motivational. It should inspire people to want to join the organization, and it should motivate the people in the organization to do the things that are the goals that come later. And if, in fact, it does that job, it'll be successful. Let's see if we can make the fourth one come up here. Okay. A mission statement should answer the question, what is unique? What's the unique value that we bring to the table in the process of being this organization, perhaps the United Church of Christ at Campbell? So I would like to play a little game with you to see if you can identify organizations by their mission, because if the mission is right, you should be able to know what the organization is. So here's a chance now for those of you who are on the committee, don't blurt out the answer right away. What organization's mission is this? The mission of this organization is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Google, very good. And the internet, Google uses the internet to organize the world's information, and the key is useful. So what they do is they organize, and why they do it is because they want to make information useful. So they satisfy the two questions for the mission statement. Let's look at another one. What organization's mission statement is this? To bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Close. Nike. And Nike, the swoosh, the idea is that everybody is an athlete, in a sense, and that you should have inspiration and innovation because of those shoes and the shirts with the swoosh and all the other things that go with it. So they have talked about what they do. They bring inspiration and they innovate, and they've talked about why they do it, because everyone wants to be an athlete. It doesn't say that, but that's kind of what's implied. Let's look at church denominations. We're going to focus in on just churches now, not Nike and Google. What church denomination's mission statement is this? The mission of this church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Local churches and extension ministries of the church provide the most significant arenas through which disciple-making happens or occurs. That may be a tough one. Let me give you a hint on this one. This particular denomination just went through a huge controversy in the LGBT leadership concern. And so you're right, it's the United Methodists. Let's see if we've got their logo. There they are, United Methodist Church. They still haven't resolved all of that, and it's troubling them. Here's another one. What church denomination is this? To be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, witnessing, loving, serving from our doorstep to the ends of the earth. Well, it could be. It turns out this is a congregation, or this is a denomination that's probably as close to the UCC as any denomination. Disciples of Christ, yes. And so ask yourself, does it say what they do? To be and to share the good news. That's what they do. And why do they do it? Because of loving and serving to the ends of the earth. They've even added where they do it. Our doorstep in the ends of the earth is pretty inclusive. One more. What denomination is this? United in spirit and inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. What we do, we love and seek justice. And why do we do it? Because of God's grace. That's maybe why you're here today. Now, let's drill even deeper. Let's look at some examples. Oh, there's the UCC logo. Let me drill a little deeper and let's look at some UCC churches and what they say about their mission. That's useful. Here's one, and I'm not going to ask you to name these because they're not particularly nameable, so I've given you the answer. This one says, extending God's extravagant welcome to all, we serve our community with openness and acceptance, open and affirming. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we promote peace and social justice, nurtured by prayer, worship, and music ministries. That's the Pioneer Ocean View UCC Church. How do they fit into the denomination statement? Well, they welcome all, they love all, and they seek justice. All three of those elements are in the UCC mission statement, and they're also in this one. And this could just as easily be ours, but it's not. Another example of a UCC church, they say, our mission is to live as Jesus lived, love without judgment, welcome without exception, serve with compassion, and teach by example. Okay, so what they do is they welcome all, they love, they serve. Does it say why? Well, because of the example, perhaps. A couple more and then we'll get on with some other things here. Do this one. Here's another church. We seek to be a welcoming community anchored in God's love, challenged to sail on the winds of the Spirit, sharing the good news of Christ with each other and the world. Now, to understand this one, this is from the United Church, which is the Canadian version of the UCC. This is a church in Kingston, Ontario, which is on the shoreline of Lake Ontario. And so they probably have sailboats and they're a sailing community, and so they have terms like anchored in God's love and sailing on the winds of the Spirit. And so it's inspiring. It makes your spirit soar to think about inspiration and sailing on the winds. The last one I want to show you is the mission statement of this church. The mission of this church is to worship God and follow the teachings of Jesus, enable growth in spirituality and understanding, proclaim and demonstrate the gospel, act justly and promote justice in our community and in the world, promote service and fellowship, and openly invite, accept, and encourage all seekers of faith. Well, this one doesn't pass the test of being short, but they did leave out that on Thursday nights we have choir practice and a few other things. But it does fit the bill. Does it answer the question, why do we exist? Because we follow Jesus. And what do? We welcome, we encourage all, we grow, we seek justice, we promote justice, and we serve others, and we have fellowship. It's been around a long time. That's one of the reasons we're looking at it again. So actually, you're going to have a chance to have input to this. In fact, if you've got the bulletin for today, inside is a little piece of paper. Looks like this, and it's a restatement of our mission, and it says what guiding principles are important to you that you would like to see reflected in our mission statement if we are to revise it. Here's your chance to speak up. So as you think about that, either during the sermon or later, you can add something to it. Anyway, things for us to ponder as we think about our own mission statement. First of all, does our statement answer the why and the what? Well, probably does. It certainly does the what over and over again. Does our statement spend too much time on the obvious and therefore not enough time on what's unique and special? And so we are unique and special. How does our statement reflect that? And does our statement inspire you and motivate you? I'll leave it to you to sort through that one, but as you sort through it, you maybe want to put some thoughts on that piece of paper. It's kind of interesting that the idea of a mission statement has been around since the writing of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. The prophet Micah said he was making probably one of the best mission statements that you could make. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We sang that song this morning from Micah. It's an important part of who we are and what we should be about. So I think that there are things that we would agree about that are special about this church, and I offer you my 10 things that I think are special about this church. They may not agree with yours, and that's okay, but let me say a few words about these in order to answer the question of who we are and where we are. We're going to have that statement of what makes us special, and it ought to be in our mission statement. So we need to explain what's unique. So here's my list of 10 things that are unique about this church. We have a thoughtful dialogue on issues of importance. Not too many weeks ago, we had a special session in Nelson Hall on the trans panel. Very helpful, very informative, very useful. We have freedom and independence. As you probably know, congregations in the UCC are all independent. We don't have a bishop. We're not answering to any kind of a hierarchy. We can do what we want. We can change our name. We can put up a new sign. Put up a new sign. It's really wonderful. But we have a lot of independence. In fact, the old saying, if you get 5 congregationalists together, you probably have at least 7 opinions. We're progressive in our worship, and we engage both the heart and the mind. I like to think that's important, that both are engaged, not one, not the other. We link faith to actions for social justice. We have a group that's studying how can we be more attentive to the need for social justice. And that links to the justice part of our denomination. Service to others in an ever-changing world. We're about service. We're offering food to a group of people who have no homes and they stay in their cars overnight at church lots. Lots of other things. We have a responsibility to help each other. That's so important, and it's key to this group. We celebrate joy and hospitality. We eat more than anybody that I know. I put that in a slightly different form, but hospitality is an important part of an extravagant welcome. We're responsible to steward the earth's resources. If you look over there, the second line says, protect the environment. It's part of who we are and what we hold as important. We have a commitment to unity, with each other and a partnership with others. And so we partner with a lot of organizations, a lot of other churches, a lot of other denominations, and do so willingly because we think there's important work to be done in the world. And we have a belief that God is still speaking. And along with that belief, we have a belief that we should be still listening. And that's important for us. If we believe that God is still speaking, we have better listen carefully. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus was nearing the end of his ministry, and he wanted to do something to make his disciples prepared and to guide them in the future, because he knew there would be disagreements and there would inevitably be times when they would be in conversation, a heated conversation. And so what he did is he called them all together and he let them listen while he prayed. And what he said is the following. He said it faster than I'm able to do it here. I ask not only on behalf of these, which means he's talking about the 12 disciples that are with him, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through the word that they may all be one. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about us, like the church at Campbell, like the church in San Jose, like other churches, like other organizations that have religious beliefs. He's saying, I want you to all work together. And so there are really two important things in this. A, he's speaking directly to us. And B, he's calling for unity. So what does unity mean? Well, later in his prayer, he says, here's what unity means. It means that oneness. What does unity imply? It says the reason that we need to be in unity is so that we know that God loves us. And in this case, God sent his Son. And this universal message is what binds all Christian churches together. So if Jesus recognized that we ought to have unity, even though we have differences, then we need to make sure those differences don't derail us. So as we revise our mission statement, our uniqueness should be in plain view in that mission statement, and it could become an asset rather than a point of division. The difference is we have different work to do than some of the other churches. We may be unique for a reason. And uniformity is not the same as unity. So unity doesn't mean that we all be uniform. We ought to be cookie cutters. So I'd like to spend just a minute or two on this topic of diversity versus unity. Because improperly used, religious diversity can be a terribly divisive thing, a terribly destructive thing. And we don't want that to happen. It's not a good thing. So yet, Paul was talking to a church that was somewhat divided. Sound familiar for UCC churches? And what he said was that there are different kinds of gifts that each of you have, but you're all together in this process of doing what's in your mission statement. And he said, there may be different kinds of service, but the same person that you're, the same God that you're serving, there are different kinds of working or different kinds of things that each of you can do. Some of you can't play the piano, but we have someone who does play the piano really well. So there are different things that each of you do that make a difference, and we all come together for the benefit of the whole. And so this actually verse reflects the Trinity. The Scripture mentions the Holy Spirit, it mentions Christ, it mentions God the Creator. But it seems to capture the true meaning for me of what unity should mean as we work in harmony with our uniqueness. Paul is saying that we're able to do different things, but it's the same spirit that motivates us. That's diversity and unity. He's saying that there are different forms of service that are needed in the kingdom of God, but the same example of servant Jesus who guides our work. That's diversity and unity. And finally, he says, there are different jobs to do, but the same Creator God who made all people who do these jobs. That's diversity and unity. And he goes on to talk about the church is like a body, where you have hands and feet and eyes and ears and noses and things, and each contributes to the work of the whole. And so we conclude that the Campbell UCC has a particular calling in this time and in this place because of our uniqueness, and we ought to be able to spell out that uniqueness in our mission. Our mission statement should reflect not only what we believe, but what we are, why we do what we do, and so we've got some work ahead of us. To understand how we should plan for the future, we've got to balance those things, the unity and the diversity, and they ought to be healthy. Theologians for the last 2,000 years have been trying to decide how do you balance diversity and unity. The 30 Years' War, you may have studied this in school. The question always asks, how long did the 30 Years' War last, right? It was a war between Protestants and Catholics, and it lasted from 1618 to 1648. 30 years, you got the answer right. One of the longest and most destructive conflicts in European history. In some cases, up to 40% of some German villages were the people were killed. In the midst of the massive destruction and misery, a Lutheran theologian wrote the most profound statement that I know of about the balance between unity and diversity. His name was Rupertus Meldinius. He took a Latin name. He had a more common name. And he said the following, and he said it in Latin. In necessarius unitas, in dubis libertas, in omnibus caritas. And translated, that means the following. Get our translator going here, the Google translator. In essential things have unity, in non-essential things have freedom and diversity, and in all things act in love. This is perhaps the best answer that I can think of as to how we should proceed with unity and diversity. It requires that we understand the difference between those things that are essential and those things that are not essential. Perhaps you feel the same way that I do, and that is that I'm greatly blessed to be a member of this church, to be in unity with each of you, and in unity with a God who loves us. I thank God for the diversity and the freedom that I experience here, and for the love and support I feel. As we move toward the creating of words that will describe our mission, let me encourage you to think about what this church family means in your life and to think about what it inspires you to respond to in actions to the call for God. Fill in the form. Let me close with my prayer for each of you as members of this important community. May you act in unity with those things that are most essential to your faith. May you be accepting and encouraging of diversity, especially in those things that do not compromise the essentials of your faith. May you have the wisdom to know the difference between the essentials and the non-essentials. And finally, may you continue to act in love toward others in all things. Amen.